9 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from Monday's close. May corn was down 7 1/4 to 355 3/4. July corn was down 6 1/2 to 364 1/4. And September corn was down 6 to 371 3/4. May beans were down 12 to 817 1/2. July beans were down 12 as well to 830 1/4. And August beans were down 12 1/4 to 836 1/2. May wheat stayed steady at 428. July wheat was down 3/4 to 437 1/4. And September wheat was down 1 1/4 to 445 1/2. On to soybean meal for May, that was down $1.80 to $2.91.80. July bean meal was down $1.60 to $2.96.60. And August bean meal was down $1.50 to $2.97.90. Soybean oil for May was down 23 cents to $26.84. July bean oil was down 22 cents to $27.13. And August bean oil was down 22 cents as well to $27.27. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Monday afternoon. President Trump tweeted out over the weekend that he will be raising tariffs on Chinese imports because of the trade talks are stalling out, which put minus signs on the board today. In northern Western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 7 cents at 314 to 347. Soybeans are 4 to 8 lower at 744 to 789. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 6 to 7 cents at 327 to 348. Soybeans were 8 cents lower at 763 to 794. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 7 cents lower at 329 to 360. Soybeans were down 10 to 12 cents at 765 to 809. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 10 to 12 lower at 795 to 810. Basis was steady to up to at 3500 at 20 under the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 275.60 to 296.50 per ton, down $1.60 a ton with basis steady at 20 under the option to July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 7 cents lower at 344 to 364. Well, basis unchanged at 20 under the option to July. Illinois River barge loading elevated coated to produce the corn bids 8 cents lower at 352 to 356. Well, basis down 1 at 12 under the 8 under the July. Soybeans ended down 7 to 9 cents at 799 to 805. Well, basis up 3 to 5 at 31 under to 21 under the July. New crop wheat prices were down a penny at 407 to 429. Well, basis steady at 30 under to 8 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal at its place, their producer corn bid 7 to 10 cents lower at 374 to 378. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 10 to 12 cents. Quotations at 824 to 825. So if we closed down a penny at 466 to 467, and Milo ended the day 7 cents lower at 369 to 370. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 324 to 352. Soybeans at 766 to 798. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 339 to 357. Soybeans at 788 to 810. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 318 to 358. Soybeans at 777 to 808. And wheat for June, July delivery at 414 to 442. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for June were down $1.15 to $112.27. August live cattle were down 75 cents to $108.40. And August live cattle were down 80 to $108.87. Feeder cattle for May were down $1.12 to $136.02. August feeders were down $2.02 to $144.35. And September feeders were down $1.60 to $145.55. Finally, lean hogs for May were down $2.97 to $82.37. June lean hogs were down $3 to $89.75. and July lean hogs were down $3 as well to $92.67. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture once more this morning for Monday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 35 cents higher. In range 72 to 81.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 79.27. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were a dollar lower with very good demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 54 to 65, 4 to 5 weighted at 57 to 68, 5 to 6 weighted at 60 to 70, and over 600 pounds, $62 to $74. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were weaker, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $51 to $57. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $17,560. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on live basis trade at $120 to $122.75 and on address basis at $196. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 242 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $82.89, which is 88 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $2.27, which is 36 cents lower, while select carcasses are $2.13.98, which is 69 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000 compared to 120,000 last week and 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 470,000 compared to 472,000 last week and 447,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by the Litchfield National Bank, by the CHS Service Center, farmer-owned with global connections, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. In ag news for this Tuesday morning, China says it still plans to send a delegation to Washington this week for trade talks, despite President Trump's announcement he'll hike tariffs on Chinese goods later this week. Trump is ratcheting up pressure on China with plans to hike from 10% to 25% tariffs on $200 billion in goods. The tariffs are an effort to dissuade the Chinese from backtracking on subsidy, cyber, and other commitments. China says it still plans to send a big delegation here this week, despite the threat and a Wall Street Journal report that China might cancel. U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer told lawmakers earlier the U.S. is not backing down from its demands.
We can compete with anyone in the world, but we must have rules, enforced rules, that make sure market outcomes, not state capitalism and technology theft, determine winners. President Trump has for years recognized this very serious and I would say existential problem, and he is determined to take action to defend our workers, farmers, and ranchers, and our economic system.
Key Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, are urging Trump to hang tough and not back down. Lighthizer is still hoping the latest talks this week, assuming they happen, will be a turning point in reaching a historic trade deal.
If we can complete this effort, and again I say if, and can reach a satisfactory solution to the all-important outstanding issue of enforceability, as well as some other concerns, we might be able to have an agreement that helps us turn the corner in our economic relationship with China.
Lighthizer complained to lawmakers that China has a record of breaking trade commitments, but the tariff war has cost U.S. agriculture and manufacturing billions in losses. China wants the tariffs off, but Trump wants some, if not all, to stay on, to keep the leverage in case China again breaks its trade promises. The National Corn Growers Association is welcoming growers to enter its 55th annual National Yield Contest. Michael Clemens reports.
The contest began in 1965 with 20 entries from four states and has grown to more than 7,200 entries from 46 states last year. Speaking from the tractor while planting his 2019 crop, Virginia farmer and owner of multiple yield records, David Hula, says the yield contest is a learning process that improves your crop.
I like to suggest everybody to set some kind of goal. You know, when we started out, we had a goal of, you know, my granddad broke 100, my dad broke 200, and then I had a goal of 250. And then, all right, well, I keep putting numbers. Let's just try to do personal best or farm best. With that, we just kept pushing it. Now, for 2019, for the growers that are still anxious to get in the field because it's been wet, at some point in time, you just got to get the corn in the field, and you're going to sacrifice some of those key things that we strive to manage. But I would like to see most growers try to improve on one field every year.
After years of entering and winning the contest, Hula says he continues to participate because the lessons learned by achieving a record crop can be carried over to the rest of the farm.
Mostly, just to continue to push myself. Yeah, we could become complacent and say, all right, well, we pushed the bar up there. But those that know me, I'm very competitive, not as much with others as can I make myself better. In doing so, we're learning from those that we're pushing their overall production even higher. And that's what pays the bills. And to me, that's been real exciting to where we see air yields just, if moisture isn't a yield limiting factor, we've seen air yields progress about 6% every year. And that's pretty good, in my opinion.
He says high yields start with seed selection and the planter.
It starts out with a hybrid selection, but then having the right hybrid in the right environment and understanding your hybrid, and then making sure your planter has done all that you could possibly do. Because when the planter leaves the field, I still believe about half of your yield is determined at that point, if not more. So we have really focused on the planting aspect of it. That's like a hidden silver bullet from one capacity. And then we take that, not just from the high yield, then we incorporate that in our overall production. And when you can see your corn emerge uniformly, you know you've checked the first box.
Hula says his goal this year is to reach or improve his personal best yields.
I know when we first broke 300, my granddad was living, and he seen the backside of a mule all the way to a man on the moon. And then when he sees the yields up to 300, it's just hard to fathom. In 2017, when we were blessed to have a really successful entry, we saw plateaus up into the low 600s, like 610, 620. So, of course, I think that's where I'd like to be, but in actuality, I think if we can just do better than what we did in 2017, to me, that would be an awesome success.
He says by participating, growers will learn more about how to grow a high-yielding crop and learn from other farmers.
Just having the opportunity to interact with other growers. Just sending your entry in, then following it through with a harvest. And after you've done that, then you can see where you've stacked up in your county or in your state. In doing so, more than likely, you're going to start some communication with somebody. And it may start out with your retailer. So you may ask him some questions because he may be a retailer with another grower that has participated. And then you start communicating through your retailer. And then at some point in time, you're going to communicate with a grower, not that you're competing, but just one that has also entered. That, to me, of the advantages of the NCGA yield contest is the opportunity to interact with a lot of other growers.
A grower must have an NCGA membership number to have an entry in the contest, which can only be obtained from NCGA. You can find both entry and harvest rules at ncga.com. The entry period opened Monday and will close June 30th. Michael Clements reporting.
In other national ag news on this Tuesday morning, the Department of Agriculture announced options last week for repayment to dairy farmers who participated in the Margin Protection Program for dairy, now replaced by the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. To be eligible for repayment, a dairy operation must have participated in the MPP dairy during any calendar year from 2014 through 2017, have the repayment calculated and verified by the FSA, and elect one of two options by September 20th of 2019. An operation's repayment amount is calculated for each applicable calendar year in which that dairy participated in MPP from 2014 through 2017. An operation can either elect to receive 50% of the repayment amount as a cash refund or take 75% of the amount as a credit that can be used towards premiums for the new Dairy Margin Coverage Program. Sign up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program begins June 17th and also ends September 20th. Eligible dairy producers soon will receive a letter from the FSA outlining the repayment options. And on to state ag news, weather was wetter and colder than normal in Illinois for the month of April. The Illinois Climatologist Office says that April is now the sixth consecutive month with above-average rainfall, and all that precipitation is having an impact. 130 river gauges are showing some level of flooding within the state. The Illinois State Water Survey's Brian Kirshner says that conditions won't likely improve very much this week either.
Looking ahead, the active and wet weather pattern is expected to continue in the near term, with the National Weather Service forecasts indicating an additional 1 to 2 plus inches of precipitation across the state by next Friday.
Kirshner also says that a forecast 2 weeks out shows a trend towards wetter than average weather. And moving on to local ag news, yesterday, Monday, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders Committee held their Acquaintance Day for the four county FFA chapters. Brandon McCollum of Nokomis is the vice chair of the Young Leaders this year, and he explains the event further.
Yeah, Gabe, like you said, we were able to have several kids from every school that we had. We had Litchfield, Raymond, Nokomis, and Hillsboro. We had a great turnout. We went to Marcoutte's Jersey Creamery in Greenville, Illinois, where they gave us a quick tour and explained how and why they went from a dairy farm to a cheese-producing store. They went and went in detail. My tour, they split us into two. My tour started at the cheese-making, and they have some windows out there. We were able to observe them making mozzarella cheese, kind of explain the process there. From there, we went to the milk parlor where they have two robotic milkers, and they explained how their milk process has went from 2 to 4 gallons of milk per cow to 6 gallons of milk per cow just because of those robotic milkers. And then we went to the calf barn where the kids got to see and pet some of the calves, and she kind of explained why they separate the calves from the cows. And then we ended the day with some ice cream and products that they make from their store. All this was to show them that people in the area are making a go at it and they're able to farm locally and go from there. They explained how they went from a family farm, I believe they said 6 generations, so they went from 6 generations and they've kept the dairy alive through the changes, through the rough times, and now they're making cheese, they're selling it, are getting ready to sell some stuff to people in St. Louis. I think she told me they've got some down in Belleville. They've spoke with the St. Louis Cardinals. They've spoke with the Texas Rangers. It just shows you how a small area business in Greenville, Illinois can reach a large area.
You invited the whole group, all four FFA chapters here from Montgomery County, back here to the office in Hillsboro to have a lunch and kind of explain what the Farm Bureau and what that offers for them in college. So maybe go into depth about what was talked about.
Yeah, they got to come back here and eat some Casey's Pizza with us. And during the lunch, we were able to explain to them the benefits of Farm Bureau and outreach that we have with legislation and to be able to promote agriculture in that way. We've also told them about the collegiate Farm Bureau areas that they have. I think University of Illinois, Illinois State University, Western Illinois, SIU, Joliet Junior College, Highland Community College, Wabash Valley, Lakeland College, Lincolnland Community College, Kaskaskia College, Blackhawk College, and I believe that Illinois Central College is adding a collegiate Farm Bureau to their college as well. So we were able to tell them that if they want to be at college, they're still able to be in Farm Bureau through this Collegiate Farm Bureau program that these colleges are offering. And if they wanted to be a young leader like I am now, they could come back and join through our County Farm Bureau where we do several things like handing out popcorn during the parades, these acquaintance days. We've done food drives in the past. We're just trying to promote agriculture and help the community along the way.
And again, that was Brandon McCollum of Nokomis, the vice chair of the Young Leader Committee for the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. And for this Tuesday morning, May 7th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.